Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to The Best Hour with your host Tony Williamson and the Mighty Companions. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/course mastery, but just search for us at Blog Talk Radio, The Best Hour. Each day during The Best Hour broadcast, we journey into a better understanding of A Course in Miracles. With over 2 million copies in print, this beautiful scripture, first published in 1975, has been translated into many languages worldwide. If you want to talk with our host during the broadcast today, just dial 347-324-5114, 347-324-5114. And now, here's your host for the best hour, Tony Williamson.
Good Saturday morning to you, my brothers and sisters. Glad to be with you this morning. We are continuing forth in Chapter 9 and Section 7, the two evaluations. And I kind of had an experience last night, and I was questioning whether or not I should share that with you. But, it falls along the lines of, that there's no private thoughts, And we haven't talked about that a lot this year, but we will. It comes up a lot. Eventually, you kind of get to that. I went out to Duchesne, Utah, and spent 3 weeks out there with David Hoffmeister and the Messengers. This goes back maybe 3 years ago now. This year, I think it'll be 3 years ago this August. But anyway, I had a great time out there. But that was one of their tenets. They had two basic tenets. No people pleasing and no private thoughts, which those two things I've come to know now, that those speak to, the ego's game plan. The ego really believes it has, it's capable of private thoughts, and that it must protect other people, it must protect itself from other people by maintaining its private thoughts. And then the other one was no people pleasing, and no people pleasing really kind of cuts to the ego's game that we're manipulating people. If we aren't careful in how we work with people, that we won't get what we're looking for in the relationship. In other words, we're manipulating people. Nothing else comes to me to describe it. So no people pleasing and no private thoughts. And it was really difficult for me. One other thing I got out of it was one of the other ideas that they really stood on as a principle out there when I was with them. Because what they would do is have people come and gather, that people would live there, and I guess they still do. But sometimes they just give up whatever their material world and, ego world, has created, if you will, or made up. We call it making the world here in the Course in Miracles. God is the creator, and we're co-creators with God, but we make up a world. We made a world for ourselves, self-concepts, and so forth. Anyway. They also kind of taught me that, to let go of stuff. In other words, because I was always Mr. Know-It-All and Mr. Fix-It, my whole life. My dad used to call me that when I was a kid, because he would get angry with me because I seemed like I knew what I needed to know, in lots of places and areas, and, he would get frustrated with me. But anyway, what they taught me is, that if something is not my area, then I don't need to be involved in it, and it's okay. Everything's okay just the way it is, and I don't need to be involved in it. If I have something that's in my area, maybe something that's assigned to me or a project that I've accepted, well, that's my area, but everybody else's projects for that. That's their projects, you know, and I need to keep my two cents to myself and my hands to myself, so to speak. So that's something else that I came away from that experience there with them for 3 weeks that was very valuable to me. But getting back to the point, and that is that with no private thoughts is basically what we learn in A Course in Miracles. And so I kind of had not a revelation, because a revelation is a direct one-way communication from God to you. And we talked about that in our first chapter. We talked about revelation in the textbook, the first chapter in the textbook in A Course in Miracles. So I did not have a revelation, but I did have an experience of spending opening my mind, an opening where I was getting a communication with myself. So it's kind of like talking to yourself, but anyway, I had that experience last night, and then I woke up this morning to a different world for me, and I found myself really struggling to articulate that experience with my girlfriend this morning and talking to her about it. And I was crying one moment and laughing the next, and, you know, and I said, well, anybody that, if somebody were listening or looking in from the outside world, so to speak, then you know, they'd probably think I'd lost my mind. But I think the real answer is I found my mind. And, you know, that is still kind of working right now, and I'm still a little... I called my daughter a little bit ago, and I was trying to, I just love on her. I just love her. But I was having a little trouble articulating and thinking, or being able to express the thinking without sounding like I'm talking slower. So I'm just trying to be open with you here. So if I sound a little strange today, that's what's going on. Okay. I'm sorry. I sound silly. But anyway, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry a bit. only the ego would say that. Okay. So anyway, we're going to talk about the two evaluations. And God's will is your salvation. Wow. It's so clear and simple, isn't it? God's will is your salvation. Would he not have given you the means to find it? And he absolutely did. He did. He's given you the means to find it, and it's your mind. The Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. That's it. And as I was trying to explain it to Claudia this morning, it's like I can't. Everything that I say is, you know, you've already heard. We've already heard it all. We've already heard it. You know, it's not like, okay, tell me something new. But then again, it is new and it is fresh in every moment. This awakening that's going on in the world. I will share with you one thing that was really amazing to me is that I felt like that I was communicating, could communicate quite easily with people that are awake, if I can say that. It was just easy. I mean, I felt like I was having a conversation with Eckhart Tolle for a couple of minutes, and then also David Hoffmeister, the guy that I, you know, the teacher that I went out to Utah and visited with out there and spent some time with David. Fell in love with David. Great, 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 great guy. Beautiful, just a beautiful, innocent child of God, and I loved him so much, and actually felt like I was able to kind of make a connection through my mind, because the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your mind. It was quite an experience for me, so I'm, again, still having a little trouble articulating this today. But the truth is just so simple. If God God's will is your salvation, then of course he's already given it to you. And it's absolutely within. Oh my, it's absolutely within. Everything, all the answers, it's there. It's your voice. It's your voice. You and God are one. And, well, when you let that be, you get your identity back, right? That's what Raj shares with us. So he must have made it possible and easy to obtain it. Your brothers are everywhere. You don't have to seek far for salvation. You know, we've been talking about the ego's... we talked yesterday about the acceptance of your brother, and this is the foundation of your awakening, is to recognize your brothers as Christ. And then the day before, a couple of days before, we talked about the unhealed healer, and the ego's plan for forgiveness is far more widely used than God's. But the day before that, we talked about the Holy Spirit's plan for forgiveness. We've laid a good foundation, right? We've laid a good foundation, and we now know that forgiveness is the key. We now know that the ego has a plan of its own deal here, which is judgment, condemnation, and I mean, it's insane. It's insane, but the Holy Spirit's plan is forgiveness. It's to recognize the ego for what it is, which is nothing. It's nothing. It seems like something, but it's nothing. So God's will is your salvation. And your brothers and sisters are your opportunity to recognize Christ right there. That's your opportunity to recognize Christ. And he certainly made it possible, God, that is, for us to and easy for us to obtain our salvation. Your brothers are everywhere. You don't have to seek far. Every minute and every second gives you a chance to save yourself. Do not lose these chances, not because you will not they will not return, but because delay of joy is needless. It really is needless. It can be extremely joyful as soon as you want to let go of the idea of what you've made yourself up to be. You really can. So don't lose these chances. God wills you perfect happiness now. And it's possible that this, is it possible that this is not also your will? And that's the real thing. I mean, that's what really floors you, you know. It's you all along. It's the voice in your head is you. It is your voice. It is the voice for God. You and God are one. And is it possible that this is not also the will of your brothers? Well, no, it's not possible. It is the will of your brothers and sisters, this will we call God's will. It is this will that is the life that they are, and it is to be found right there within them. Consider then that in this joint will that you are all united, as we are, of course, and in this only. We are united in this joint will, and that's the only thing we are united in. The ego is always trying to separate us out. Even the religions that the ego has, you know, influenced are always busy separating themselves out into smaller and smaller and smaller groups. Consider then that in this joint will, you are united. You are all united. We are all united and in God's will and only in this. There may be disagreement on anything else, but not on this. See, this then is where peace abides. And you abide in peace when you so decide. It's just your choice to listen to that voice. Well, keep it up, your choice. Keep up your willingness. Keep up your devotion. It's just your choice. You cannot abide in peace unless you accept the atonement, the at-one-ment, this chain of forgiveness, unless you accept this, because the atonement is the way to peace. The reason is very simple and so obvious that it's often overlooked. The ego is afraid of the obvious, since obviousness is the essential characteristic of reality. Yet, you cannot overlook it unless you are not looking. That's the deal. You can't overlook it. It is so unbelievably obvious. And we are so not looking. And that's why I told Claudia before I'm having really trouble to articulate my experience, because it can't be described. Can't be described, but it can only be experienced, I guess. It is perfectly obvious that if the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your Rabbi, if the Holy Spirit looks with love on all he perceives, that he looks with love on you. You love yourself. You love yourself. Get over it. Hallelujah. Thank God. In his, the Holy Spirit's evaluation of you is based on his knowledge of what you are. You are perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it, and you must see yourself therefrom. As you see your brothers and sisters, that is how you see yourself. So check yourself at the door. Leave judgment there and walk into this room full of forgiveness. Walk into this space with yourself. Spirit are one, and the Holy Spirit looks with love on all that he perceives. You do. When you tap into that, when you recognize it is you, when you are just listening to that voice and you begin to get it, that is you. It is you. You then become the voice for God. And you look on all that you perceive with love. And so then he says, and this evaluation then must be in your mind, because where else can it be? It is in your mind, because he is, that is, your right mind is your mind. It is he, the Holy Spirit, is in your mind. The ego is also in your mind, because you have accepted it there, that its evaluation of you, however, is the exact opposite of the Holy Spirit's, because the ego does not love you. The Holy Spirit loves you so very much. The ego doesn't love you. And the ego is unaware of what you are and wholly mistrustful of everything it perceives, because its perceptions are so shifting. The ego is therefore capable of suspiciousness at best, and viciousness at worst. Oh, my goodness. If I use that again and again and again in my own, you know, red flag and evaluation of ego thinking, you know, the ego only operates between vicious and suspicious. Right? How are you? Oh, what is one? So that's the game of the ego mind. It's only operating between suspicious and vicious. At worst, it's vicious. At best, it's suspicious. That is its range. It cannot exceed it because of its uncertainty. And it can never go beyond it because it can never be certain. Yesterday I talked about the different aspects of ego thinking. You know, we've got the controller, we've got the protector, we have the skeptic. And, you know, how we play into that thinking, and we bring forth that aspect of ego thinking, you know, because that's where that's the whole range of ego thinking, suspiciousness at best and viciousness at worst. And that is its range. And it can't exceed it because of its uncertainty, and the ego is extremely uncertain. Why? Because it's always wrong. It's always wrong. And it can never go beyond it being wrong in this range, because it can never be certain. You then have two conflicting evaluations of yourself in your mind, and they cannot both be true. And you do not yet realize how completely different these evaluations are because you do not understand how lofty the Holy Spirit's perception of you really is. Boy, is that the truth. He, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, is not deceived. He's not deceived by anything you do because he never forgets what you are. Thank God for that, right? And the ego is deceived by everything you do, especially when you respond to the Holy Spirit. Wow. Because at such times, its confusion increases. The ego is therefore particularly likely to attack you when you react lovingly. It would attack you when you react lovingly. Because it has evaluated you as unloving. Because it has evaluated you as unloving. And that's self-evaluation. The ego is evaluating itself. It's trying to convince you that you are it, right? It's this voice that says, this is me, and it's saying, I'm unloving, I'm unworthy, I'm not lovable. Oh, my God, you are so lovable. You are lovable, and you are love. And loving, right? You are loved, you are loving, and you are unimaginably lovable. And the Holy Spirit knows that. Absolutely. The Spirit knows that. So the ego is therefore particularly likely to attack you. Remember, he operates between suspicious and vicious. And it doesn't like you. It doesn't even love you. It doesn't know love. So ego will attack your motives, okay, because it has evaluated you as unloving and you're going against its judgment. When you love someone, you're going against the ego's judgment. So it's likely to attack you or it's going to attack your motives as soon as they become clearly out of accord with its perception of you. This is when it will shift abruptly from suspicious to vicious since its uncertainty is increased. Yet it is surely pointless to attack in return. What's the one thing the ego can't defend itself against? That's you ignoring it. Your disregard of those thoughts of suspicious, true viciousness, whatever it may be. All of your thoughts, all of your ego thoughts, you can ignore them. Oh my God, we have that choice. We have that choice, my brothers and sisters, now. In every moment. In every thought. In every thought. So, this is when the ego is going to shift, right? Because it's suspicious of your love. And yet it is surely pointless to attack in return. What can this mean except that you are agreeing with the ego's evaluation of what you are? If you attack yourself, you're agreeing with the ego's perception of you or what it's really, to me, I'm just sharing, it's trying to convince you that it is you, that you are under its spell. If you choose to see yourself as unloving, you will not be happy. Oh my God, is that not true, right? If you choose to see yourself as unloving, you will not be happy. You are condemning yourself and must therefore regard yourself as inadequate. You would look to the ego to help you escape from a sense of inadequacy that it has produced, and you must maintain for its existence. Would you then look to yourself for this? Can you escape from its evaluation of you by using its method for keeping this picture intact? No. These are rhetorical questions Jesus is asking you to consider. You cannot evaluate an insane belief system from within it. Its range precludes this. You can go beyond it, look back from a point where sanity exists, and see the contrast. Only by this contrast can insanity be judged as insane. with the grandeur of God in you. With the grandeur of God in you, you have chosen to be little and then to lament your littleness. Because you're listening to ego voice. That's what it tries to convince you of. Within the system that dictated this choice, the lament is inevitable. Is it not? Your littleness is taken for granted there, and you do not ask who granted it. The question is meaningless within the ego's thought system because it would open the whole thought system to question. Now, this is Jesus, our brother, our master teacher, saying, I have said that the ego does not know what a real question is. The ego's insane. Lack of knowledge of any kind is always associated with unwillingness to know, and this produces a total lack of knowledge simply because knowledge is total. Not to question your littleness, therefore, is to deny all knowledge and keep the ego's whole thought system intact. You cannot retain part of a thought system because it can be questioned only at its foundation. And this must be questioned from beyond it because within it, its foundation does stand. The Holy Spirit judges against the reality of the ego's thought system merely because he knows its foundation is not true. The Holy Spirit judges against the reality of the ego's thought system merely because he knows its foundation is not true. Therefore, nothing that arises from it means anything. The Holy Spirit judges every belief you hold in terms of where it comes from. If it comes from God, he knows it to be true. If it does not, he knows that it is meaningless. Whenever you question your values, simply say this, God himself is incomplete without me. His life checked out. I got part of my mind walled off over here, like I'm safe at home in bed sleeping at night while I'm dreaming a dreamscape every night. I've walled off consciousness of where I'm at, literally, what I am and where I'm at, that I'm safe at home in bed. Now, of course, God himself could never be incomplete. Because the truth is, you could never be outside the mind of God. So all you got to do is, when you say this, recognize that God is infinite mind, infinite love, unimaginable love. All of these true thoughts, the Holy Spirit recognizes as true and will remind you, if you'll just listen. Because everything that the Holy Spirit says, this mind, this part of your mind, this mind that you are, it's all true. And guess what? It's all eternal. It's all eternal. So God himself is incomplete without you, and it's kind of a statement, it is a statement, obviously, of your value, right? It's a statement of your value because God himself is incomplete without you. And that's like, I feel like I want to play with my kids, and they're sound asleep, right? And it's the middle of the afternoon, they're taking a little nap, and I'm ready to play, you know, have some fun. I can't play with them, they're sound asleep. What do I need to do? Wake them up. So we can be together, join. In other words, I can still love them and not judge them. I can see that they're beautifully resting, but they're dreaming of being somewhere else, and so I want to join in mind with them. The body's function is communication, after all. While they're asleep, there's not a lot of communication going on. God himself is incomplete without me, and I need to wake up. That's all that's saying. God could never be incomplete because God is all there is. But remember, as we said yesterday, we're moving from duality semi-non-duality to non-duality, ultimately to pure non-duality. And this is where our course is taking us and leading us now, as we begin to remove the obstacles to the awareness of presence of love. Remember this, when the ego speaks, and you will not hear it. Wow. In other words, guess what? You can disregard the ego by remembering the truth. This is a very strong This is a very strong aid to you. Remember this, when the ego speaks and you will not hear it. The truth about you is so lofty that nothing unworthy of God is worthy of you. The truth about you is so remarkable. Unimaginable. Choose then what you want in these terms. What do you want? We've talked many times, and we will continue to discuss the process Joshua Ben Joseph takes us through in the way of mastery is simply to move from desire, recognizing what do you want, what do you want, what do you want, what do you want. There's a practice in there, right? A lesson. Just write down, what do you want, what do you want, what do you want? Begin to recognize the desire. Let this desire, this true desire that's coming from deep within you, which is your right mind, and let this bubble up from coming forth and begin to recognize it as a true desire, a desire from the depths of your soul, which is God. And so this comes forth, and then so now recognizing and having recognized it, we set our intention. And we start doing the things, okay, like a radio show, I don't know, or listening to a radio show, reading the Course in Miracles, meditating. We start doing the things that are congruent in, you know, that are in alignment with our intention. We start doing those things. And this is our teacher in the practice here. I've been kicking myself this week because I felt like I wasn't making the devotion. But I will promise you that just a little bit of time spent listening to your right mind it's all you need to help you to stay true to your intention. Practice. Quieten the mind, the ego. And when that ego speaks, remember, your awakening is very important. It's very important. Choose then what you want in these terms, and accept nothing that you would not offer to God as wholly fitting for Him. What else could we offer God except love and gratitude? What else have we been given except love and gratitude? Anything else is a lie, it's an illusion, it's insane. All that your Father, Mother God, all that you want to say that she's given you, however you see God in your mind, it doesn't matter. You've been given all that is in heaven and on earth. It's all yours. So what else could you be lacking? There's nothing there. Choose then what you want in these terms. You don't want anything else. You do not want anything else. Because the knowing of your true self, the knowing of that real connection that you have with God is beyond anything the ego could ever even imagine. It's beyond intellect, way beyond intellect. And as we said yesterday, your intellect is a very poor servant. So you don't want anything else. Return your part to Him, God, and he will give you all of himself in exchange for the return of what belongs to him, you, and renders him, God, complete. Wake up. Let's go play. God is calling. God is calling. Are we listening? Are we listening? All you have to do is just listen. Grandeur versus grandiosity. Let's talk about that a little bit tomorrow. I'm really interested to see what the Holy Spirit brings tomorrow in our that discussion, because that was one that I struggled with for a long time. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying in the sense that I struggle with it. Again, I apologize. I seem to be arguing with myself a little bit in discussion of some things. I find things hard to disagree with. In other words, I can whatever comes up is, you know, in one sense of the word or another, everything is true. Huh. But everything also is either illusion or real. Okay, because the truth is I am one self. That's it. I'm just one self, and I'm united with my Creator, no doubt about it. And when you get that, you get your, start getting your identity back, it's pretty wild. I am one self, true self, capital S self, united with my Creator. Today's idea accurately describes you as God created you. We talked about that yesterday. If you didn't catch yesterday's lesson, was it powerful for me. It was powerful, powerful, powerful for me. So I pray that you'll go back and listen again, because this one thing, if you get that, okay, and he said this in the very first sentence yesterday, today we continue with the one idea which brings complete salvation. You are as God created you. Which means that you are united with that, because God created you as part of her mind, so you didn't go anywhere, because there is nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go except in your imagination, like your dreams at night. You're in your mind, you're having an imaginative episode, a dream, and you see yourself as visible and tangible. That's right, God and God's creations are always recognizable, always, even though you might distort what they are with your own misperceptions, listening to a mind that is only has a range of between suspicious and vicious, right? You listen to that, go for it. Imagine the way. You get to choose the teacher in every moment. Today's idea, I am one self, united with my Creator, accurately describes you as God created you. You are one within yourself. Oh, this is so true. You are one within yourself and one with Him, God, our Father. Yours is the unity of all creation. This one mind is unimaginably connected with all of creation. Your perfect unity makes change in you impossible. You do not accept this, and you fail to realize it must be so only because you believe that you have changed yourself already. You believe that you are what you are not. That's it, period, period, period. You believe that you have changed yourself already, and you see yourself as a ridiculous parody on God's creation, weak, vicious. Remember the ego now, operating only on the range between suspicious and vicious, weak, vicious, ugly, and sinful, miserable, and beset with pain. This is your version of yourself, and a self that's divided into many warring parts, separate from God, and tenuously held together by its erratic and capricious maker, to which you pray. Right? We've got the controller. We've got the skeptic, we've got the protector, We've got this personality, we've got that personality, we've got this aspect of mind and that aspect of mind, and we've made all of this up. We've made it all up, and these are all aspects of ego thinking, ego mind. We can call it that. Small mind, small self, false self, Buddha called it. You have your true self and your false self, he said. Your false self is all made up and tenuously held together by its erratic and capricious maker to which you pray, which is the ego thinking. And what do you mean we pray to it? We pray to it because we give it our awareness. We give it life. Our life. We give it our life. Such is your version of yourself. It does not hear your prayers because it is deaf. It does not see the oneness in you, for it is blind. We're talking about the ego, right? It does not understand that you are the perfect child of God, the perfect son of God, the son of God, for it is senseless and understand. It doesn't understand anything. It is senseless, and it is always wrong. We're taking a walk because I've got to get another phone. My phone is a little low on battery, and I don't want to lose our conversation. So bear with me as we talk. As we talk and walk. So here's this ego thinking that we can abandon at any moment, and we have that choice, and make that choice consciously throughout the day. And so we can make that choice. I'm sorry, I lost my connection, but I'm back. Okay, so we will not attempt today to be aware, we will attempt today to be aware only of what can hear and see and what makes perfect sense, which would be what? The Holy Spirit, nothing more than our right mind. We will again direct our exercises today towards reaching your one self, your true self, your capital S self, which is united with its creator in patience and in hope. We try again today. My brothers and sisters, it is worth the effort. Oh, my God. It is worth the effort. Thank God and hallelujah. Remember, desire, intention. Okay? The two other keys to the kingdom are acceptance and surrender. Accepting the reality that this is what I need to do to get connected to my true self, my right mind, is that I need to do a little practice today, that I need to set aside some time, I need to make some devotion, I need to commit to my intention. And I need to open up my mind with willingness to hear something that's different. Expect to be surprised. Big time. Expect to hear something different, to know something different. The use of the first 5 minutes of every waking hour for practicing the idea for the day has special advantages at the stage of learning in which you are at right now. It's difficult at this point not to allow your mind to wander if it undertakes extended practice, okay? It's difficult. That's okay. Practice is what this is called. It is necessary that you be aware of this, for it is indeed a hindrance to your advance. Sorry. The ego is definitely a hindrance to your advance. Frequent but shorter practice periods have other advantages for you at this time. In addition to recognizing your difficulties with sustained attention, you must also have noticed that unless you are reminded of your purpose frequently, you tend to forget about it for long periods of time. You often fail to remember the short applications of the idea for the day, and you probably notice that you've not yet formed the habit of using the idea as an automatic response to temptation. What's the temptation? So just listen to your ego, that's all. And you're so busy listening to it, ego, that you do not, literally, that you do not remember. That's why we have smartphones. That's why God gave us smartphones. That's your smartphone, to remind you. Because the ego will keep you so busy today, you won't remember to thank God. You will not remember that you are only one self. I am one self, united with my Creator. You often fail to remember the short applications because you haven't yet formed the habit. That's all. Structure, then, is necessary for you at this time. Plan to include frequent reminders of your goal and regular attempts to reach it. Regularity in terms of time is not the ideal requirement for the most beneficial form of practice in salvation. It is advantageous, however, for those whose motivation is inconsistent and who remain heavily defended against learning, and your ego is going to resist, I promise, in my own experience as well, or anyway. Speaking simply for myself, my ego is resisting the hell out of all of this. But not successfully. We will therefore keep to the 5-minute and hour practice periods for a while and urge you to omit as few as possible. Using the first 5 minutes of the hour will be particularly helpful since it imposes firmer structure. Do not, however, use your lapses from this schedule as an excuse not to return to it again as soon as you can. There may well be a temptation to regard the day as lost because you've already failed to do what is required. This should, however, merely be recognized as what it is, a refusal to let your mistake be corrected and an unwillingness to try again. Just accept it, that is, whatever has already happened, and remember your intention. The Holy Spirit's not delayed in His teaching by your mistakes. He can be held back only by your unwillingness to let them go. So let us therefore be determined, particularly for the next week or so, to be willing to forgive ourselves for any lapses in diligence and any failures to follow the instructions for practicing the day's idea. I am one self, united with my Creator. This tolerance for weakness will enable us to overlook it rather than give it power to delay our learning. If we give it power to do this, we are regarding it as strength, and are confusing strength with weakness. When you fail to comply with the requirements of this course, you have merely made a mistake. That's all. And this calls for correction, by the way, not punishment, and for nothing else. To allow a mistake to continue is to make additional mistakes based on the first and reinforcing it. It is this process that must be laid aside. For it is but another way in which you would defend illusions against the truth. It's just another trick of the ego to make you feel, quote-unquote, guilty about what you haven't done. And what I was just saying a few minutes ago, my ego's really been sneaking under the windowsill in the back room of the house this week on me because I didn't meditate as much as I felt that I really needed to, that I wasn't living up to my commitment. And then my ego's going, well, you know, you're just not... You know, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do, and making me want to be guilty, feel guilty. Well, I got to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit just laughs at all that. It does, because it doesn't even pay any attention to it. The Holy Spirit doesn't hear the ego. You do. Let all these errors go, just by recognizing them for what they are. They are attempts to keep you unaware you are one self, one true self, united with your Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and limitless in power and in peace. This is the truth, limitless in power and in truth. Wow. Wow. In power and in peace. And this is the truth. And nothing else is true. Nothing else is true. This is the truth. Today, we will affirm this truth again and try to reach the place in you in which there is no doubt that only this is true, and begin the practice period today then with the assurance offered to your mind with all the certainty that you can give. I am oneself, united with my Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and limitless in power and in peace. Then close your eyes and tell yourself again, slowly and thoughtfully, attempting to allow the meaning of the words to sink into your mind, replacing false ideas. I am oneself. Repeat this several times. And then attempt to feel the meaning that the words convey. You are oneself, united and secure in light and joy and peace. You are God's child, God's son, oneself, with one Creator and one goal, to bring awareness of this oneness to all minds. To all minds, that true creation may extend the allness and the unity of God. You are oneself, complete and healed and whole, with power to lift the veil of darkness from the world and let the light in you come through to teach the world that the truth, to teach the world the truth about yourself, that you are Christ. You are oneself in perfect harmony with all there is and all there that there will be. You are oneself, the Holy Son of God, united with your brothers in that self, united with your Father in His will. Feel this oneself in you and let it shine. Let it shine all your illusions and your doubts away. This is yourself, the Son of God Himself, sinless as its Creator, with His strength within you and His love forever yours. You are oneself, and it is given you to feel this self within you and to cast all of your illusions out of the one mind that is this self, the holy truth in you. But don't forget today, we need your help. All of the awakened ones are saying, we need your help, your little part in bringing happiness to all the world. And heaven looks to you in confidence that you will try, that you will try today. Share then its surety, for it is your surety. It is yours. Be vigilant. Do not forget today. Throughout the day, do not forget your goal. Repeat today's idea as frequently as possible, and understand each time you do so, someone hears the voice of hope, the stirring of the truth within his mind, the gentle rustling of the wings of peace, your own acknowledgement you are oneself, united with your Father, is a call to all the world to be one with you. To everyone you meet today, be sure to give the promise of today's idea and tell him this. You are oneself with me. This is a wonderful, wonderful practice for today. You are oneself, capital S self, one true self. You are this oneself with me, united with our Creator in this self. I honor you because of what I am and what He is, who loves us both as one. You are oneself. I am oneself. I am oneself, united with my Creator. Beautiful. So I ask you to join with me as we close in prayer. I'm not able to get on the, I don't have an internet connection today, so I'm, at least at the moment, so I'm not able to. I'm just going to hang up when the show ends here. But thank you for being patient with me today. I said I'm sorry about anything, absolutely nothing. There is no need for sorrow. There's only joy. Only joy. Only joy. And I feel so blessed with you in your awakening, because I know that all the awakened ones are calling to us. And though, as it's been said, maybe few will answer, you're answering, or you're not listening to my voice. You're answering, and God bless you. God, thank you. I am so grateful for you. Because your strength and your intention in your in alignment with your desire is my strength. Just knowing that you're there reinforces my love and my commitment to sharing this with this truth. This is just simple truth, but I just want to share it with the world. And I thank you for being a mighty companion with our brother Jesus Christ, because that's what we are. We're not students of the Course. We are mighty companions in the process of awakening the world to the reality of what we are. That you are loved, you are loving, and you are lovable. And all of the world that you see, every brother and sister you see today, remember to tell them in your mind that you and I are one self. We are one self. Father, you have given me all your sons, all of your daughters, all of your children, to be my saviors and my counselors inside, the bearers of your holy voice to me. In them are you reflected. And in them does Christ looks back upon me from my true self, from my real self. Christ looks back upon me as I see my brothers and sisters today, as I recognize that my mind and their mind are united as one. Let not your children, let not your sons and daughters forget your holy name. Let not us forget your holy name. Let not your son forget his holy source. Let not your son forget his name is yours. And as your son, Father, I just want to say thank you in gratitude that you have given that gift to me, that I remain as you have created me to be, in love, in mind, in spirit. I recognize it now, maybe a little bit more today than yesterday, because I set my intention. And I will live up to my devotion to practice. I will remember my brothers and sisters as the face of Christ as I encounter them today with your support and with your voice and with your love in my heart. I say thank you, Father, again for this life that you created that I could never take away from myself or any other. As we join in love and unity today, God bless you, and we will be back. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. We will be back tomorrow morning. Amen. Have a great day.